But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and it is the ghost light, and we are by it. Hi, my name's Ryan.
I'm Cassie.
And we have so many Shakespeare things to talk about, Cassie.
I'm
so happy and so excited.
There's dueling Romeo and Juliet's.
Dueling Romeo and Juliet's. It's my dream. Like, this
two
is
productions, both alike in dignity.
In fair London and NYC, where we lay
and
our
NYC.
Scenes.
Yes, indeed.
Scenes, yeah. Plural. It doesn't work in the scansion, but I'll take it. Oh my God, I'm so excited. First months ago, we got Tom Holland.
Right. In London.
In London. West End doing it. And that run is limited, and it is already sold out.
And then this week, we got an announcement of a production being launched in New York with Rachel Zegler and Kit Connor, which I'm so excited about. I am here for the Heartstopper boys making their Broadway debuts.
I'm so here for it. It's not often that you get to play Juliet twice.
Exactly. It's like, hey, she's done it before.
Yeah, and some might say that this is the easier version to play.
Less singing, for sure.
A lot less singing. I love their tagline. The tagline is, the youth are fucked. They, asterisk it out, but I'm so here for this. I'm so here for all the Shakespeare, all the adaptations, all the different versions. It's two very different versions, which will be interesting. The production of the one in New York City released this little tag. It says, the youth are fucked, left to their own devices in their parents' world of violent ends. An impulsive pair of star-crossed lovers hurtle towards their inescapable fate. The intoxicating high of passion quickly descends into a brutal chaos that can only end one way. I just love it. I'm so happy. I'm going to New York now.
I love that we're slowly, culturally drifting away from the narrative of this being some great epic love story, because A, it's not, and B, that's not interesting.
No, it's not interesting. Write it down. This is its own episode.
Yeah, we can talk about Romeo and Juliet for days. I've directed it.
Yep, you've directed it. I've directed it. We've both, done so much Shakespeare. We should just talk about Romeo and Juliet one episode. And especially with these two productions coming up, I'm sure this is a great time to revisit this.
Fantastic.
I think that would be great. Gosh, I'm so excited. I'm definitely going. No opening date yet. It's set for fall 2024 at a theater yet to be announced. Original movement by Jack Antonoff for the New York City one.
Original movement. What does that mean?
It means...
Is that just fight choreography?
Maybe. But also it's... I don't know.
That feels like more than fight choreography.
I'm thinking like Hamilton-esque movement, mm-hmm. where it's not really dance, but the movement helps tell the story in such a way. It's kind of a new thing, I guess, kind of hip to do that.
I mean, I can see that working for R&J.
Jack Antonoff is the lead singer of Bleachers and the guitarist and drummer for Fun.
Okay.
So he knows a thing or two. He's also a songwriter, and he's written with such people as Taylor Swift, the 1975, Carly Rae, Florence and the Machine, Lana Del Rey. Like, the list is long. So this guy knows what he's doing. But that sound is very, very harsh and loud, which I think lends itself to the Youth Are Fucked tagline. And then
Absolutely.
Also maybe some movement and stuff. So we'll see how that goes. We are definitely going to be talking about this again. 1,000%.
We are also just knee-deep in casting announcements for a variety of things.
And there's so many that are like Shakespeare-related that we're going to have to divide them all up. Otherwise, we'll get accused of just being a spinoff of Shakespeare.
Right, exactly. In a move that I did not have on my 2024 bingo card.
Ian McKellen's playing Hamlet.
We already talked about that, Ryan.
We did. I just like to bring it up.
No, Steve Carell is on Broadway right now.
Sure is.
Uncle
a comedy,
Vanya.
Right? Something really funny, playing a shtick.
Yeah, that comedic writer Chekhov.
He's hilarious.
His plays are a laugh a second.
Yeah, they're definitely not 4.5 hours too long. People complain about Hamlet being long.
Chekhov is also very long. Hamlet is also very long.
Hamlet's too long. But Chekhov, a lot of his stuff is, I could do with some cutting. But yeah, he's doing the dramatic thing on the Broadway.
Good for him.
Good for him. That is hard to do night after night. You see the funny guy go and do dramatic roles in film and such and get acclaim, and he's certainly done that and proven his acting chops. But it's a whole other thing to take that and do it live on stage, especially in a show like Uncle Von. It's a lot. And he's doing it. And doing it well, it sounds like.
Yeah. The reviews have been very favorable. Then we have yet another L.A. theater announcement that makes me want to go to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jason Alexander, who I love, is playing Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof in L.A.
Wow.
Which is really exceptional casting.
That's very good casting. Interesting. When is it?
Oh, gosh. What a great question. That is going to be in November. So November 8th through December 1st.
All right.
Not a long run.
No, not long. 4 weeks?
Just about, yeah.
Just about, yeah. Well, you know. Get out there in November. That'll be nice weather.
Yeah, exactly.
In other casting news that we don't know is real yet, but we know something's up. I don't know if you've heard about this, Cassie, but I promise that it will mean something in a second. Did you know that the Jonas Brothers canceled their European tour this summer?
I did hear that, and I did hear that there was an awful lot of speculation as to why.
There's so much speculation as to why, and after a little bit of internet sleuthing, we've got two pretty substantial rumors. But
which
I want to clarify that they are rumors, because most
they
of the time
rumors.
When we talk about things on this show, they are factual announcements. So the rumors are that Kevin is just going to be Kevin and do whatever Kevin does. But we have Joe and Nick going into separate shows for limited runs. It is believed that there is a production of The Last 5 Years going to be remounted.
Okay. Which one is in that?
Joe.
That feels a little on the nose. Continue.
Sure does, doesn't it? And then the other one for Nick, which also feels a little on the nose, is a limited run revival of Tick, Tick, Boom with him playing the John character.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Interesting. I look forward to seeing if there's any weight to those rumors.
Yes. There's a couple other rumors about other different shows, but those are the two that look like they're really standing out. But they've already canceled their European tour and moved all the dates, so something's going to happen.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens. And also not sure if it's Broadway or off or Kennedy Center or something similar, but we'll see. What the Joe Bros get up to.
Speaking of Jason Robert Brown shows.
What a segue.
I know, right? You set me up perfectly.
Knock it down.
We have not necessarily a full cast, but we have more of a cast for Jason Robert Brown's new show that has a long, complicated title that I don't remember without it in front of me right now.
Is that the Midnight Show?
Yep.
Midnight in the Garden of
in the Garden
Evil.
Of, yeah,
good
something
and
like
evil
that.
And right and wrong and
yeah.
Adam and Eve.
That show has added J. Harrison Gee, which is exciting.
It's very exciting.
And Sierra Boggess, which is also exciting.
That's, listen, she can do whatever she wants.
Absolutely.
That's just great. And I'm glad that he found a Bible story to write about that wasn't Jesus. So I'm glad he's branching out a little bit.
Jason Robert Brown?
I'm mixing up my Jason.
I was going to say, Jason Robert Brown hasn't written any Bible musicals to date.
Do we know if this is actually like Bible related or if he's just using the names?
I don't know.
We don't know much. Okay.
And also, excuse you, Stephen Schwartz has 3 Bible musicals and only one of them is about Jesus.
How many does their good friend Andy have, though?
One that's about Jesus.
And Joseph?
And Joseph.
So he's got two. Yeah.
He's got two.
Donny Osmond keeps appearing on my TikTok and it's very strange. I just needed to say that out loud, see if the world can relate to that.
Nope, can't relate.
And he looks the same as he has for the last 35 years.
Yes,
so I don't know if they're new performances or not.
The man has not aged.
It is weird to see him, like, in Chinese garb with the stick doing Let's Get Down to Business. Like, especially after the second Mulan movie came out, the live action one. Uh-huh. It's a little weird.
Uh-huh.
It's not racist. It's just weird.
It's just strange.
Mm-hmm. In other casting news, we go back to Ryan's favorite show because I'm legally obligated to mention Anne Juliet in every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
Two bits of news about Anne Juliet. One, Lorna Courtney is leaving. So we have a new Juliet taking over. It's Maya Boyd. She'll be taking over starting May 14th. She joins the company directly out of Merrily We Roll Along, which was her Broadway debut early this year, while she simultaneously completed her senior year at the University of Michigan.
Congratulations. That's a whole lot to do in your senior year.
That's a whole lot to do, Maya. Way to go. Excited to see those credits continue to build for her and the whole Anne Juliet crew over there. But also, secondarily, we've had more season announcements by regional theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Juliet coming to Cleveland.
Woot woot.
Definitely going. At least once. I think it's in March or April next year.
Yeah, we're going to see if I can swing that. I'd love to swing that.
Listen, I want nothing more than to sit next to you and watch you experience this show.
All right, Chase. Give us that ghost light money.
We got some.
Somewhere. Fund our trip. But Ryan, I think that there's a piece of casting news that everybody is on the edge of their seats to hear our opinion about.
Is it about the Lord of the Rings musical that's coming to Chicago?
No.
Oh, okay. Is it about one of the other 20 musicals that have opened on Broadway this spring and nobody knows if any of them are going to last more than a month?
No.
Okay, is it about some Kennedy Center limited run that we're going to get 12 stars in and never hear about it ever again? Probably a revival of, like, I don't know, Miss Saigon or Anything Goes. Vaguely racist, but also updated.
No, it's about the goat.
The goat. The goat is Audra's the goat, right? She's the greatest of all time, right?
Audra is the goat, but I'm talking about the literal goat.
The literal goat. Is this an Into the Woods spinoff? Is Milky White different now? What's
Man,
happening?
I wish. Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
A
no.
goat as white as milk?
Ever since the movie of Wicked was announced, the question on everybody's minds has been, who is playing Dr. Dillamond? They have announced cast member after cast member. They have dropped a trailer. They have mm-hmm. dropped production photos. They have shown us two characters who are at best passing mentions in the musical that apparently have a much bigger role in the movie.
Well, they're
and they
both
have
movies.
Not shown us hide nor hair of Dr. Dillamond.
Well, who would you get to play a goat? A goatman.
There's been a lot of speculation,
sure.
But they have now finally announced that Dr. Dillamond, specifically the voice of Dr. Dillamond, because it seems like Dr. Dillamond is going to be completely CGI. So all they have is a voice actor.
So,
we were afraid it was James Corden. It's not James Corden.
It's not James Corden. It's Josh Gad.
Also an interesting option, but no, it is.
Jeff Goldblum.
He's already playing the wizard.
He could do both.
He can't do both. Jeff Goldblum can't do anything. Absolutely. No, the voice of Dr. Dillamond is Peter Dinklage. And you know what? I'm here for this.
I love this. Listen, anytime somebody says we're casting Peter Dinklage, I assume it's the right decision.
It's yet to be the wrong decision.
Has he done anything bad? Anytime that Peter Dinklage has appeared in a film or TV show, I've never been sad or mad about it. Like, he's exquisite every single time he shows up.
He's absolutely having a moment right now, and I'm here for this all day long. He's also just, like, he's racking up franchises, man. He keeps making these one-off appearances in major franchises. Like, mm-hmm. he was in the MCU for a hot second in one of the Thor movies.
Sure was. He played a giant
Game
dwarf.
Game of Thrones, of course. And now Wicked, like, and he was in Ballad of Songbird and Snake.
He owned that film. Did you ever see of Songbirds?
I did.
He
it was phenomenal.
Brilliant. That is a great movie. You know what that movie is rated on IMDb?
Not as high as it should be.
6.8 out of 10.
Not
which
as
is
high as it should
factually
be.
Wrong. It's a good
incorrect.
Film. It's a good film. Other Peter Dinklage credits include the voice of Scourge in Transformers.
There you
so
go.
He's done that. A voice of Chans on Rick and Morty. Remember that Cyrano movie?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch that Cyrano movie, and I really want to.
I do, too. Haven't seen it yet.
Maybe for the next Patreon.
Listen, all the Game of Thrones stuff, absolutely. I mean, we talked about him being the giant dwarf Eitri in Avengers, but also he was in, he was the voice of Mighty Eagle in Angry Birds and Angry Birds 2.
Yeah.
So that's great. And I've only made it back like 5 or 6 years.
He was in a little gem of a movie called Penelope, and if anybody's watched it, you need to come talk to me because I adore that movie.
He was in X-Men, Days of Future Past. He played the Doctor.
See, like I said, racking up franchises.
His greatest film, and I can hear Chase agreeing with me from the other room, his greatest film to date is a little film called The Knights of Badassdom. Hi, everyone. We're going to take a quick pause here so I can tell you about The Knights of Badassdom, because it's just a delight. Live-action role players conjure up a demon from hell by mistake, and they must deal with the consequences. They literally go LARPing, and somebody bought a really cool magic book from a shop so they could do their spells cooler, and they accidentally summon a demon from hell, and it kills all the LARPers.
Why do I feel like I've seen this?
You probably have.
I feel like
Peter
I was
Dinklage
taken hostage at some kind of somebody's apartment.
Probably.
I think Zach and Nikki were there, and I think I was forced to watch this movie.
Probably.
I think I blocked it from my mind until this moment.
Steve Zahn is in it. And Summer Glau is in it. From Firefly, Summer Glau.
Yes.
And Peter Dinklage, and it's just... It's so bad, and I love it very much. Anyway, Peter Dinklage can do no wrong. Thank you, Peter Dinklage. I'm excited for Wicked.
I'm very excited for Wicked.
Have they said if they're going to mocap him?
That has not been announced. I kind of hope they do. I think that would be really interesting.
Yes. Because it makes the goat man smaller automatically.
Mm-hmm.
If they mocap him, which would be interesting.
Yes, I agree.
It's not a full-size person. I did briefly mention the Lord of the Rings new musical, rather the Lord of the Rings musical tale, will get its U.S. premiere at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, which seems right.
Yeah.
That will run July 19th through September 1st after its acclaimed run in London. So we'll see if we can get over for that. But there's another big, shiny, bright new musical on Broadway to go with all of the other big, shiny, bright new musicals on Broadway. But this one we got to talk about because Wayne Brady's in it. The Wiz is back on Broadway, and it's big, it's bright, it's beautiful. Everyone loves it. All the critics agree. Smash hit. It's the greatest thing.
I'm excited. And I don't love the show that much, but I'm excited for this show to have some new life breathed into it. And
it's the first time it's been on Broadway in 40 years, which is interesting.
And that's really great.
So maybe it's not totally working out, because I'm looking at the review of it on Theater Mania, and the title is A Big Empty Revival of The Wiz Lacks the Magic of Broadway.
So maybe some mixed reviews, because the couple mixed that reviews. I read were quite glowing.
Yeah. Subheading is, perhaps 6 months on tour isn't the best way to kick off a Broadway run.
That feels weirdly snobbish in a way.
It sure does. They do have a 20-piece orchestra, so that's cool. The argument here is that the book isn't still really all that fresh. It doesn't totally work. The story, has structural problems. They didn't like the sound design, which is interesting. They call the set small, and it's like it's because it's a touring set that doesn't fit in the Broadway stage is what they're saying.
That's a fair criticism, I think.
Yeah. And then they also say the same thing about some of the costumes, that they're like, some of them are great and some of them are really not great. And choreography is called repetitive and boring. Some performers overcome it and they're great. Some make it through. Interesting. So mixed reviews, but I think there's so many shows out there right now that everybody's going to get some good reviews and some less than glowing reviews. Like,
yeah, probably.
None of these new shows or revivals are really getting like unanimous across the board. This is amazing, which makes the Tonys much more interesting.
It's true. I think The Wiz has some staying power just by virtue of being The Wiz.
Sure. And Wayne Brady's in it. That helps a little bit.
Anyway, I wish them a lot of luck. I hope that they do well.
We wish them luck. I've got two more things here. The first is we say goodbye and rest in peace to costume designer Carrie F. Robbins, who designed 30-plus shows on Broadway, starting with Grease. She passed away in early April at the age of 81, following a brief illness with COVID. She did White Christmas. She did Agnes of God. She's done just so many. The Iceman Cometh. Bertolt Brecht's Happy End, which was Meryl Streep's Broadway debut. Yentl, The Boys of Winter. The Beggar's Opera, The Crucible, Mackers, and Enemy of the People. And then also all sorts of stuff over in London as well. She was nominated for two Tony Awards and received 4 Drama Desk Awards. She was a master teacher of costume design at NYU Tisch. Good for her. So, she also designed the costumes for one season of Saturday Night Live in the 1980s. Well, rest in peace, Carrie Robbins. May there be many poodle skirts. There's no good segue out of that, so I'm just going to move on to a review for a new play that is an adaptation of Mackers. It's called Macbeth and Undoing. It's revisionist Shakespeare for depressed feminists.
Okay.
It's making its U.S. debut. It was originally staged at the Royal Lyceum in London and is here in the U.S. now. So it seems like they really just rewrote it so that Mackers is from Lady M's perspective, which is great. But I kind of want to read it and see what it does. I don't know if it's any good or not, but there's a Shakespeare adaptation. Yay.
Here's my unpopular Shakespeare opinion. I don't really like Mackers. Like it all.
I like parts of it. I've never done the whole thing.
I don't think it's that interesting a story.
And you have to end with a gigantic battle.
Yeah.
There's a lot of off-screen death.
Like, I guess there's a little bit interesting in telling it from Lady M's point of view, but also not that much because she becomes a victim of the patriarchy, I guess, and doesn't get a very fulfilling ending.
No. Sure doesn't. Mackers is not a happy ending.
I just don't think that there's that much to say with Mackers. That's my unpopular Shakespeare opinion. I don't really like it.
You know what the best way to do Mackers is?
What's that?
With Scottish accents.
Absolutely. I'm poised for getting half ill yelling at me when this episode drops.
I can hear it now. It's okay, Ryan. We'll do Mackers again someday. Probably. Maybe.
And to it's that I fine. Say to that I say
out damn spot.
Come talk to me when you have a nuanced opinion about Romeo and Juliet.
Ooh boy. I hope he listens to this.
We have long-standing beef with his opinions about R&J. He knows. He knows. It's fine.
Did he see yours? He wasn't
here. I don't think he did.
He probably wasn't here. No.
But mine's on YouTube if you want to watch it.
There you go. Because it's Shakespeare, so it's public domain, baby. Yeah, the best compliment I could have received after R&J that I got from him was, because he kind of teared up towards the end, and afterwards he said, "I enjoyed watching that." I went, "That's it. That's all I needed." But really, all Shakespeare should be done in like 5 minutes or less.
Was that an opening for a segue to talk about Complete Works Abridged that you just closed?
Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised, again, the world's longest title. Somehow longer and more of a mouthful than Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten.
Somehow.
It's terrible.
Which is impressive, really.
It's the worst title. Oh, it's so heavy-handed and bad.
You closed a show.
I closed a show. It was a great show. I loved it. Audiences loved it. We sold really well. It was exhausting and wonderful, and I'm very proud of everybody who worked on it. And we're taking it to Okta.
That's exciting.
It is.
We saw it. It was well done. It makes me envious of 3-person casts.
Right.
That feels nice to work with.
Gosh, that was so nice. Like every night when we would have rehearsal and like the third person would walk in and be like, "Cool, everybody's here, let's start." That was wild.
Yeah, I got 33 in my cast right now. And literally 18 of them are in the high school show right now.
So you can't rehearse for like
a week. Rehearsals this week have been interesting.
Mm. But you didn't take the week off.
We've done a lot of rehearsals with the little kids.
Sure.
So.
Makes sense.
But then next week is tech week for Seussical, and so I'm missing my music director and my assistant director all week.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds
rehearsing
right.
For this show has been interesting.
Yeah, and it's early June, right? First weekend of June?
Yep.
So you've got like a month.
I will have finished blocking the show by the end of April. I don't know that everybody in the cast will have been to all of the blocking rehearsals that they need to be at.
So as long as your stage manager has written down everything.
God, I hope so.
We're going to find out real quick.
Yeah. I'm finding myself underestimating how much time dance rehearsals need and overestimating how much time blocking rehearsals need. So they're having dance rehearsals and not getting through the whole dance in the time I've allotted. Mm-hmm. And then I'm having blocking rehearsals and I'm getting done a half an hour early.
Because you don't have everybody?
And also I'm just like thinking things are going to take longer than they are.
That's handy. There's a lot of choreo though, so
there is a lot of choreo, and it would be perfect if the rehearsals that I was finishing a half an hour early were rehearsals that my choreographer was at.
Then you can just hand over the time, be productive.
In the last half hour, but it does not work out that way because we are at opposite schedules.
That sucks.
There is both a benefit to having a larger team and also detriment to having a larger team, because I don't have to be at as many rehearsals.
Right.
But also there's so much more to coordinate.
Yes. But because of baby, it's ultimately net positive for you.
It is ultimately net positive. I'm just freaking out about getting all the music learned in time and all the dances.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
What are you talking
about?
Totally fine. Telling you this live on mic, I don't think you know this. I'm in the middle of 4 projects now, all at the same time.
That's so many projects, Ryan.
It's 3 more than I should be, but here we are. Yeah. One is Shakespeare Abridged, because that's going to Okta. We're going to take Act 2. We're going to take that, the Hamlet part, because we can do the whole thing, basically. And because you do all of Hamlet, you do the audience participation, everybody's like, "Oh, this is cool, this is fun, this is good," and we get to do Pippin's very, very good "What a Piece of Work Is Man" speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finish it, and then we get to do Fastest and Hamlet backwards, which is the most impressive part of the show. So we get to do all this. Yes. It'll be great. That's mid to late June is when that is. I'm performing in Tiny Beautiful Things by Nia Vardalos in 4 weeks. That show is heavy and a lot. I'm exhausted every time rehearsal ends. Just emotionally spent. It's a good time.
You should act in a happy show, Ryan.
Well, segue, I get to play a villain. Kind of.
Is that a happy show?
No. No, it's not a happy show. Local area theater is doing a production of Red Speedo to go up closer to the Olympics this summer. It's about a swimmer trying to qualify for the Olympics, and it's ultimately about doping.
Gotcha.
I get to play scumbag lawyer turned sports agent.
Cool.
So that'll be interesting. Past that, I know what the next show I'm directing is.
Is this at Gateway?
No. Before that.
No. Okay.
I'll go back to Gateway. But no, the next show I'm directing will be a musical local to the area.
Okay.
It's a little show called 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Oh, are you doing that for Village Players?
I'm going to do that for Village, yeah. It's going to be a blast.
I know at least one person who is frothing at the mouth to audition for that.
Yeah, I know who that person is.
Uh-huh.
and a handful of others. So I'm excited to have several things lined up like this, that all of which I've gotten to pick and do. And, man, it's just nice to get to pick your own shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. To an extent, pick your own shows. I mean, it's what's available or in the area or happening around you. But
true.
Rather than being handed a season and told, hey, you're going to work on these 7 things, and that's the next year of your life, which is a different thing altogether. I don't miss that.
No.
I miss it some. I miss it parts. And I'm sure I'll miss it more this weekend when I go see Adam's family. But there's parts of it I'm like, no, oh, I'm good.
I am so deeply looking forward after this weekend to never having to sit through Adam's family again.
Preach. I never want to see
this. And I can say that because the kids know that I don't like it. And I told them it's nothing to do with them. It's just the show. Don't like the show. And after I see it today, I don't care who else is doing it and who else is in it. With the exception of like, if 16 years down the line, Kai is in it for somebody, then I guess I will sit through it again.
Well, you'll have to at that point. Once. Yeah. You don't have to be there every night, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, I will see it Saturday night. I'm just not looking forward to sitting through Adam's family again. I'm just not looking forward to it. I think a week or two later, I got to go see the SpongeBob musical that another local high school is going, and I'm way more excited to see that. Which isn't much, but here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. We've come to the end of the episode in a quite natural fashion, which is nice.
We have. I'm liking these shorter episodes, Ryan.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming along with us on another episode of By the Ghostlight. We are part of the Ghostlight Media Network. You can find us at ghostlightmedia.net. And there's merch. We have merch. There's merch. It's on the TeePub store. It's great. And oftentimes there's a 35% off deal running. So get that merch. It's great. It's how shows like this exist. And how the media network exists as well. Go check out some other fine shows on the network. Shows like Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop, which just dropped shitty Pokemon episode number like 8 or 9, where it's just Zach and Griffin ranting about shitty Pokemon. It's a good time. That's all for us today. Thanks for coming along with us. My name's Ryan.
My name's Cassie.
And join us next time by the Ghostlight.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.